grew up in a family where actions were just as important, sometimes more important than words. It's not that it didn't matter that you spoke kindly to others and talked about things you intended to do to help other people. It was just that hollow words were worse than no words at all. In our family, if you made a promise, you kept it. And you spent your time seeking ways to serve others rather than just talking about what others needed. There was an interesting perspective shared recently with me that the last several weeks were finally on track as we have shifted from Paul's message of faith and love being important to Matthew's account of the second Sermon on the Mount, focusing on the importance of good works. I will admit to being challenged by that perspective and sorting through why it fell short of how we are guided to follow God's word. The part I have remained firm on is that the Bible is made up of a complete picture. We can't just pick and choose which pieces we think are relevant and toss aside the ones that don't fit our narrative. What I was looking for was something that served as an example of how faith, love, peace, and actions all connect with each other. Then this week's scripture popped up in the lectionary sequence. As we prepare to leave Matthew and enter a season of exploring the Gospel of Mark, it seems appropriate that we also get a teaser into how the rest of the story connects to Matthew's interpretation. In today's lesson, we have definitely stayed the course in terms of the need for our actions to be in line with the expectations of God. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. These are pretty clear actions, aren't they? And at this time of year, we are given frequent reminders of how these works impact real lives. We see television advertising featuring acts of kindness and care. We are given reminders of Giving Tuesday when we can focus our attention on how we give to help others in need. We see the presence of the Salvation Army kettles and Toys for Tots drives collecting on the part of the least of these brothers and sisters. And we are reminded actions are incredibly important. I shared a few weeks back how critical it is for us to consider all the words in a reading and not just the highlights. And here's another great example. Woven in with the requirement to serve the poor and those in need are the words, "All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side and the goats he will put on his left." This reference connects back to Ezekiel 35:17-22. "As for you, my flock, the Lord God proclaims, I will judge between the rams and the bucks among the sheep and the goats. Is feeding in good pasture or drinking clear water such a trivial thing that you should trample and muddy what is left with your feet? But now my flock must feed on what your feet have trampled and drink water that your feet have muddied. So the Lord God proclaims to them, I will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. You shove with shoulder and flank, and with your horns you ram all the weak sheep until you have scattered them outside. But I will rescue my flock so that they will never again be prey. I will even judge between the sheep." These two messages in Ezekiel and Matthew create a bridge between acts and faithful devotion to God. Good acts on their own won't be enough. They have to be done in a faithful way, with proper intent, or we might as well tattoo the word goat on our foreheads. You see, it's not just those who do good works that are saved through Christ. It's those who believe Jesus and do the works that Jesus instructs us to do. When we are doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason, that's when Christ's presence is among us. One recent example of this was held last Monday night. I, along with a small gathering of others, attended the Transgender Day of Remembrance vigil held outside the offices of the Connecticut Conference of the United Church of Christ in Hartford. The vigil was clearly an action, a conscious choice by those in attendance to show up, worship together, and provide a voice for those whose lives were lost solely because of how they identified themselves. It was a powerful moment, and one we are absolutely called upon to be a voice for justice in our world around us. But this is where I see a complete and clear difference between a vigil and a rally. A rally has people gathered in similar fashion, speaking on behalf of the need for justice. But in a rally, there is no faith component. There is an individual passion on the subject, but there is no effort to reflect on how God calls us to speak out for the cause at hand. Vigils are different. Vigils have a look and feel of a worship service because they are an expression of not only acting, but doing so with faith at the forefront. They not only gather people together in one voice, but that one voice shares the gospel and the importance of believing in the message connected to the works being done. Rallies incite passion. Vigils move our spirit and soul within. Rallies are boastful and in your face. Vigils are humble and servant-led. This contrast reflects the difference between human authority and God-granted authority. To that end, people at a rally may still be a goat, but those at a vigil are showing clearly their identity as sheep in the flock of Jesus Christ. To oversimplify things, the point here is that we need to do good because it's what we are called to do as Christians, not because we are looking to earn some sort of reward. There are many who do good works, then cry out that nobody noticed what I did, or come on, give me credit for the good things I've done. But Jesus guides us toward a different action. To do things and know that even if no other human being says thank you, God knows what we have done and the intent behind it. I met a young man last week at the Thanksgiving potluck dinner at Westfield following helping with the hanging of the greens in their worship space. This young man is just a couple of weeks out of rehabilitation for drug addiction. He knows the changes he needs to make in his life. He knows he needs to part ways with former people he identified as friends, but now knows will only pull him back into a life of drug abuse and destruction. He knows he needs to find a supportive community that will both help keep him accountable, but still express Christian love for him to help him find the strength for his recovery to continue. But this young man goes beyond that. He shared with me that he is looking for every opportunity to serve. Soup kitchens, food banks, clothing drives. If there is a way for him to help people experiencing life on the margins in the same way that he has, he wants in. And he doesn't want it because he gets kudos from people. He doesn't want it because it's some offset to any sin he has committed in his past. He wants this because it's the right and faithful thing to do. He is ready and prepared to serve with humility and grace. He is willing to do so anonymously because no fanfare is required for the faithful. This young man who some may look at and deem as unredeemable because of their own boastful perspective, is a clear sheep in the flock of Jesus. He just needs to find the rest of the flock to support his efforts. So as we prepare for the generosity of the season, let's ask ourselves, why? Why do we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and visit the prisoner? To assuage our own guilt? To make us feel better about us, or simply because the hungry, naked, and imprisoned are our brothers and sisters? Or do we do it because it's what we as Christians are called to do? Will we fulfill one of the angel tag gifts shared on the back wall for children in care of the Department of Children and Families because we get pats on the back or a tax write-off? Or will we do it because these children represent the face of God, the face of Christ in our world? And we would do anything for them because we would do anything for Jesus. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Let's consider in the weeks ahead whether we are truly sheep of the flock or goats trying to pretend that we are sheep, with actions, but without faith. Both are needed to live a complete Christian life. The proper reward will come in its own proper time. Amen.